Friday, April 19, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you. If you aren't just tuning in, great to have Pup back with us from over in India. Loz is back from Singapore as well. We've got Adam Pengilly coming up shortly. And then we've got Peter Lagogiani, the trainer of Nadal Sheba, the Golden Easter Egg final. It's 9:45 Eastern Standard Time tomorrow night. Well, I see here a text too. Boys, give McKenna strength in the Easter Egg. $1.90 favourite. I'm sitting on a pre-post ticket of 48-1. No name to that one, but good luck to you. But we'll speak to Peter Lagogiani, the trainer of Nadal Sheba, which is a $6 chance to jump from box four in the next half an hour as well. Phil Moss still to come. Brad Davidson, Yvonne Sampson, Michael Maxworthy as well. But Adam Pengilly is joining us right now to review what we saw, 18-12, the Storm over the Roosters at Allianz there last night. How are you, Adam?
Morning, Mido. Morning, boys. Going well. And just found it very interesting listening to Loz this morning, pumping up his Scotty Scheffler tip from last week.
Yes. Well, you know what I have to take Mido to task with, Adam, and you will too, because it's about being a team, a combination with the multi. And he has decided earlier in the day to separate himself from you. Well, so he made it clear which leg he was tipping in. He made it very clear what leg you were tipping
in. I just like to be transparent.
But I said to him, I said to you, it's like a coach. When you go to the press conference, you just talk about the team. Behind closed doors, you can talk about individuals. All right? But on this program, to the wider audience, you talk about being together.
So I can read into that, Loz, that he doesn't like my leg of the multi. He's clearly...
No, that's not true at all.
That's how I took it.
That's not true at all.
Okay. Well, you know what my favourite saying is, Loz? There's no I in team, but there's five in individual brilliance.
Yes, exactly right. I like that saying. I might use that and claim it as my own. What did you make of the footy last night?
Good game. Good game, Loz. I think we chatted yesterday, didn't we, Mido, and said I think the Melbourne would come with a much more sort of defensive focus or steel about their game, and it turned out to be that way. Obviously, five tries, all coming from kicks, quite bizarrely, wasn't it? So it was sort of one of those games where both teams had to find their opportunities at the end of sets. And I suppose the big news out of the game late last night was Trent Robinson's post-match press conference, sort of complaining about the Ili Katoa try and Nelson Asofa-Solomona being used as a driver or making a push or making contact with that cluster of bodies when Ili Katoa was trying to wrestle his way over the line. Now, to the letter of the law, Robbo has a point. I think he's right. I think the NRL's made it quite clear that you can't be used in that situation to create momentum for a teammate going forward. But if you watch the replay, did Nelson actually...
It was
really
minimal contact, wasn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's extremely minimal. Yeah. So, I don't know whether it's a frustrated coach. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I think he probably has a point in terms of the letter of the law. But I'll tell you what, I don't think he affected the play very much at all.
You see it a million times anyway. I remember there was when the Roosters were on their own line, Daniel Tupou, I remember seeing James Tedesco going in to help him as well. I mean, it's... Anyway.
You know what I know Nelson was at fault here, I suppose, but he got up and ran. That's right, he did get up and ran. But I get confused sometimes with the ones where, you know, when they say you can only put a hand on them when they dive on the ground and everything is null and void, you can come in at times and pick them up and keep pushing them back and then it's play on. I get confused sometimes with those decisions. But last night, I just thought it was minimal contact. He didn't really have much to do with taking Katoa forward. And in fact, those Roosters guys, they had control of that tackle and it was the strength of Katoa which was able to roll out and ground the ball, I thought. I don't think the fact that Nelson pushed him over the line played a part or minimal contact played a part.
Yeah, I completely agree, Loz. And that result last night certainly is setting the table for a huge game on Anzac Day next Thursday because the Roosters... Yeah. They just need a win, don't they, Mido? They've just got to find a win somewhere to stay in touch with that top eight. If they get beat by the Dragons next week, they'll be falling to, what was that, 3-5, won't it, after eight rounds, which is a pretty sluggish start to the year. So you look at that roster and you think, wow, they should be a top four team, shouldn't they?
They certainly should be, Adam. What about the Storm, Matt? I feel like we've made the same mistake again with the Storm. At the start of the season before a ball kick, they just... There's so many question marks, yet they just keep finding ways to win, though.
They do it every year, Clarky. They always set up their season in the first 8 to 10 weeks. Invariably, they win, you know, first 8 games, they win at least 5 or 6. And then they're in control of their destiny for the rest of the season. And generally, when State of Origin time comes around, Craig Bellamy has the luxury of resting a few players if he wants to, because they're well and truly safely ensconced inside the top four or the top eight. And they've done it again. And it's no fluke. We've chatted about this before, that they win round one every single year, basically, since Craig Bellamy's come to the club, 20-odd years. It's just absolutely remarkable they do that. One guy I want to give a quick rap to, a quick mention to, I think he potentially could be close to the buy of the year by the time we sort of look back on it in a few months, is Sean Bloor. I think that's a really, really smart pickup by Melbourne on the edge there. He seems like he's forming a really good combination with Cameron Munster on that left-hand side. He's always a guy who had a lot of ability, but never quite had the consistency at the Tigers. But I reckon Melbourne get the absolute best out of him. He's going to be a super buy for them.
Yeah, I said on the program earlier, Adam, I don't think Melbourne in attack have got it right yet. And I say that even though they've won, what, 5 from 6, I think what they're doing is building. And I watched them play again last night and I thought, if they're going to win a comp, that's the style of footy that they have to play, but they've got to get better at it. And I reckon they're building nicely, because I've always worried about Melbourne just being that methodical team. The last couple of years, this is. It's been that methodical team. They get to the finals and they haven't got a change of gear because they've been so consistent and good. But I like what I'm seeing from them, even though it still looks clunky, the fact that they're prepared to chance their hand a little bit more.
No, definitely, Loz. And I think Craig Bellamy's sort of shown at times over his career that he can definitely change up the style that Melbourne play. I remember, was it 2021, might have been, or 2020, they played this brilliant attacking football. So just, you know, spreading the ball left to right in their own half and were really tearing teams apart. And that's not necessarily what we associate with Melbourne. Maybe the last year or two, I think you're probably right, they've gone back to maybe a little bit more conservative style of play, but you can just see the little signs at the start of this year that they're playing a little bit more expansive and they're starting to work on a few different things. And if they can find that extra gear in the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks of the regular season heading into the finals, they will be extremely dangerous.
Yeah. Well, and what about Teddy last night, James Tedesco, with that trip? I thought he was lucky to stay on the field. I'm not saying sent off, but I thought that might have earned him 10 minutes in the bin.
Well, Loz, back in your day, if you trip someone,
well, you're off.
You were automatically sent off.
Yes.
You're gone.
Yeah.
You're gone. And I don't know what's happened. It's sort of seeped into the game a little bit in the last, probably, I suppose, 15 or so years, that a trip just seems like it's a penalty and nothing else. But I agree with you. He was clearly wrong-footed, but he knew what he was doing. He stuck out his foot.
Yeah, I think it's a 10 minutes in the bin. I definitely think it's a bin.
Yeah.
Because it's a professional foul too, isn't it?
That's right. Cameron Munster committed a professional foul, and I agree with the decision. 100% right. Sent him to the sin bin. Well, what's the difference to James Tedesco? Is there any major difference? In my eyes, no.
It's pretty good to be wanted, isn't it, if you Stefano or Toikamanu, in the light of James Fisher-Harris's looming move from the Panthers to the Warriors.
He is going to earn top dollar, Mido. He's going to be a man in demand, probably as it stood at the moment anyway. But now that Penrith are a player in the market, potentially, and again, we've got to stress that he still has a contract with the Tigers, but he's got these really strange clauses in his contract where if he doesn't play 2 more Origin games this year, or the Tigers don't make the finals in 2024, he's technically, he is a free agent. He's free to negotiate with other clubs. So it's going to be fascinating to watch, because these other clubs that potentially could be circling him might have to wait until very late this year and keep some money in their salary cap for 2024 if they want to try and get him. And if the Tigers don't make the finals and he doesn't play Origin, then it's going to be a massive, massive story in the final month or so of the season, because he'll be up for grabs. I'd imagine clubs like the Bulldogs will register an interest. I think the Dragons will show an interest, obviously. Penrith. He just looks like a perfect replacement for James Fisher-Harris, but the amount of money he's going to be able to command is going to be huge.
Yeah. Just on that, Adam, and I don't know a lot about it because I only sort of quickly saw it yesterday. How come he was released from
James Fisher-Harris?
James Fisher-Harris, yeah, to go to the Warriors.
He approached Penrith and said, listen, and specifically Ivan Cleary, and said, Ivan, I feel like I want to go home with my family. His grandfather passed away a couple of weeks ago, Loz, so I think that was sort of pulling on the heartstrings a little bit, a large part of his decision. And he just feels like the time's right to move his family back to New Zealand. Now, Penrith clearly could have dug their heels in and said, mate, you're one of our best players. You're on close to $1 million a year. You've still got another couple of years on your contract. You can stay. But I think their respect and admiration for James Fisher-Harris and for what he's done for that club over many, many years. And don't forget, he came to Sydney as a very young boy after not being picked up by the Warriors in their system. I think they thought, you know what, mate, out of respect, we're going to let you go back. We're not going to make this a big issue. We're not going to demand a transfer fee or a player swap or anything like that. You can go and back to the Warriors without blessing. Just give it your all for the rest of the season.
Des v. Manly. And there'll be pressure on the Titans, even more pressure if they lose this, which the betting market says they're not expected to.
They need a win, don't they, Mido? They desperately need a win. They've just got to ground out something. And they were much better against the Raiders last Sunday night. I think everyone acknowledged that. And they're probably very stiff not to come away with at least one point out of that game in extra time. But the reality is the NRL is about wins and losses. And the Titans have got none at the moment. They're racking up loss after loss. And the pressure's got to be on Dez and that club. The club made that huge call last year to, I think it's fair to say, Justin Holbrook was completely blindsided by what happened behind his back. They were going to be in contention for the finals potentially last year. They made that call mid-season. It didn't work out for him towards the back end of last year, and it's not working out at the moment. We know what are the qualities that Dez has as a coach. A couple of premierships, I think in time, potentially get the best out of this team, but they've got to be feeling the pressure after that decision and the way they started this year.
Okay, tips, racing tomorrow, footy on the weekend. What have you got for us?
Yeah, I'll stick with Clino Middow, as I obviously added to the multi. I just think in that Hallmark race, there are a lot of horses that are just treading water and not showing anywhere near their best. I know Front Page deserves to be probably a short price favourite, but Clino is a dynamite horse fresh. We know that. He's got to go up a level or two, but I liked his trial, and I think he can run a really bold race here at an each-way price. That's race 5, number 6. And my two footy bets, I hate to say this, but geez, I'm keen on the Warriors tonight. Both head-to-head. I think they're $1.48. I think yesterday, Middow, they might be a little bit shorter now and at the -6.5. The Dragons are definitely improving, but I think the Warriors are a different class to them at the moment. So with the Dragons in the short turnaround, I'm very, very keen on the Warriors. And Saturday night, I think the Broncos and Raiders are going to be full of points. So I'm happy to back the over 44.5 points in that one.
Love it. And I believe you're going to be there with us for LIV Golf too. 1 week to go until LIV Golf takes over Adelaide and the Grange Golf Club. Limited tickets, hospitality options still available for Friday and Sunday. Saturday is pretty much sold out. So we're broadcasting live there from the course Friday, April 26, ahead of day one of LIV Golf. It's golf, but louder. Don't miss this epic weekend of shotgun starts, fan village fun, headline music acts including Fisher, flight facilities, and Tones and I as well. Head to livegolf.com for more, and it is a unique experience, Adam, I'm sure.
Oh, it's great, Mitt. I was there last year and the atmosphere on course was phenomenal. I think we've got to give Loz a challenge next week. We had the President's Cup challenge in me, Loz, a few years ago about getting a photo with Tiger, and we introduced you to Tiger as Australia's Tom Brady, and I think he liked that.
He really
enjoyed that. So I think we need to try and circle the shark next week. That's the man we're going to go after next week. We want a photo with Loz and the shark next week in Adelaide. Can Tommy get him on the program, Mido? Are we any chance of getting him on the program, the Shark, next week?
Well, I reckon he could. Yeah, Pup could help us out there.
Mate, the Shark will come on for sure.
Yeah.
He'll definitely come on our show.
Let's keep that one in the back of the mind. Thank you, Adam. Have a great weekend.
See you, boys. See ya.
Huge night at Wentworth Park tomorrow night. The Golden Easter Egg Final. It is race 8 on the card. Jumps at 9:45 Eastern Standard Time. And to jump from box 4 is Nad Al Sheba. It's a $6 chance with Tab. Won the first semi-final last week in a time of 29.51. And joining us is the trainer, Peter Lagogiani. Peter, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, pretty well.
Appreciate your time. And you and your family own this dog, Nad Al Sheba. And I'm sure you've pictured it there with your family, and what would it mean to win a golden Easter egg?
Yeah, mate, certainly have. Yeah, bought this little pup for my two boys as a Christmas gift. I told them I was buying them something very quick, and they thought it was a motorbike. come out and saw this little blue pup with yellow eyes, and look, they instantly fell in love with him, and and to have him racing in a golden Easter egg, you know, just to stand on the podium there with the two boys would be absolutely amazing for us.
Pete, what can we expect, mate, in regards to conditions at Wenny Park tomorrow?
Well, first of all, let's hope we can put some bums on seats out there. And it's one of probably the best credentialed races in Australia, really, and you know, top the charts in New South Wales for many, many years. And the Victorians used to be the ones that come down and win the race for the last decade. So just in the last couple of years, New South Wales dogs have risen to the top, and thus far we've been winning it the last couple of years. So with the likes of Brett Lees and Fernando Bales, some of the top dogs have won this race. So you know, we're hoping for, you know, some fireworks to go off tomorrow night.
And is McKenna, is she the horse the dog to beat? Oh, sorry, Pete.
Well, to some of us, she looks like a horse at the moment, mate. Yeah, look, she certainly is. Look, she's one right out of the box. And the owner, Giorgio Alvaro, you know, I grew up with him, actually. We've been lifelong friends, and we played soccer together as teenagers. So kudos to him. He paid good money for her, and let's hope she can repay the debt.
What's her strengths?
Well, she's got everything.
Yeah, right.
She's got it all. Look, she's a couple of tenths quicker than us. Look, we've got the same sort of talent, but just the time at the end says she's a little bit quicker. So, look, it's all at box rise, guys. These group races are generally won at box rise. You know, it's who gets the clear breaks in the first 20 or 30 metres. And, look, they're all pretty bloody good dogs, and we're all vying for the same position, that you know, podium spot that says first on it.
So how satisfied are you, Peter, with box four, and how ideally does it play out for you then from there?
Oh, mate, look, you can't complain when the box draws come out. You just got to play with what you've got. You know, it's not ideal, box four. I think McKenna is very well drawn with a slow beginner on her inside and directly on her outside. We can only play our part if she does something wrong, we'll be there to pounce on her.
You're a Western Sydney boy. You were once painting houses. Fair to say you took the right gamble?
Mate, I did. Yes, I certainly did. You know, winning the $10 million chase, mate.
Yeah.
You know, we are, yeah, look.
You've won it twice, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't say that too often, but we love hearing it. So, mate, yeah, look, it's changed our lives forever. And both Jody and I and the kids, you know, we love doing this. And, mate, it was a dream of mine to become a greyhound trainer since a teenager. And, mate, I'm living my dream.
Have you got any other dogs running on the night?
We have. We've got a young little lady called Angel Shirley. She's a young up-and-comer. You know, we'll be hearing a lot of her, you know, in the next 6 months, I think.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on those two, but particularly Nat Al-Sheba. And mentioned the $1 million chase victories, but this would be something special, is wouldn't it? Considering, I know it's worth less than the $1 million chase, but being a time-honoured race, a Group 1, this would be, I'm sure, as special.
Oh, for sure, guys. Yeah, look, it's a race we've always wanted to win. As a kid, you grow up, and the Golden Easter Egg was the echelon of greyhound racing here in New South Wales and probably Australia. Look, we train the dad, Beast Unleashed. We part own him, and we also train the mother, Zipping Kelly. So that's even more special for us, you know. So we've trained both mother and father, and he's the progeny, you know, in our kennel, in a Golden Easter Egg, you know, racing 350,000 on the weekend. So, yeah, it's got to be something special if we can, you know, knock off a favourite.
Well, it should be a special night regardless, but for you and your family, hopefully it's one you will never forget with Nada Al-Sheba in the egg final, Peter. Appreciate your time. Go well.
Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
Phil Moss isn't far away. Now, Europa League this morning, second leg, quarterfinals, and this is our results. So these are our results this morning. So Marseille and Benfica are about to go to penalties. It's finished 2-2 on aggregate. Marseille's won 1-0 on the day, but extra time's just finished, so we're going to penalties there. Roma beat Milan 2-1, so Roma won 3-1 on aggregate. Liverpool won in Italy against Atalanta, but 1-0 on the day, but have lost 3-1 on aggregate. West Ham and Bayer Leverkusen 1-1, but Leverkusen win 3-1 on aggregate. Last night, 18-12, the Storm over the Roosters. In the AFL, the Western Bulldogs beat St Kilda by 60 points. Aaron Norton kicks 6. So the Dogs are now 3-3 on the season. Adelaide take on Essendon tonight. Adelaide $1.45, Essendon $2.75, or plus 13.5 at the line with Tab. Huge game for the Crows. They're 1-4 on the season. And Essendon are 3-2. Saw Swans forward Logan McDonald speaking yesterday. He's off contract. And he is from Perth and is expected to garner huge interest to head back home. But he voiced his love for Sydney and how happy he is. He plays his 50th AFL match, the 22-year-old, against the Gold Coast Suns. That's at the SCG on Sunday. The Swans, by the way, $1.35. Gold Coast, $3.25 for that one. Brody Grundy also plays his 200th. And Callum Ward returns for the first time since round one, since he injured his shoulder for GWS. And they've got a big match against Carlton tomorrow as well. So some big games in the AFL. Brisbane and Geelong's a big one tomorrow. Collingwood, Port Adelaide as well. But the multi is open. The multi is open. And this is what we've got today. So going to the Randwick program tomorrow, the last day of the Sydney Autumn Racing Carnival. Race 5, number 6, Colino to run top 2 in the Tab Hallmark. Colino first up, got a great fresh record and nice trial as well. Tommy Berry rides barrier 4 of 9 in the Tab Hallmark. So to run top 2, Colino. And then in the Champagne, the Group 1 for the 2-year-olds over the mile. Backing this horse, James Cummings, to do what he did with Prized Icon, to do a Fernhill Champagne double, but we only need broadsiding, which won last week, the Fernhill, to run top 2. That's race 7, number 3. So Colino top 2, broadsiding top 2. $8 it's paying on the Tab app and website. Just click on sports and today's offers. There it is under sports offers.
And that is a pretty good offer, Mido. Pretty good offer. Could have been a little bit better, but that I'll come back to that a little bit later. But you know my Bet Friends project. It's coming along nicely, all right? There's still a few issues with the IT department. But other than that, we're starting to get there, right? But last week, we selected 5 people, and 2 of them had winners. So they're back this week.
Saluted.
All right? So it's their time to shine again. So Turtle the Milkman is back. He's gone over there at Ascot, race 8, number 7, Bella Nipotina.
To win the Quokka this week.
Yep.
And he won last week.
And he won last
turtle
week.
Turtle the Milkman.
Yep. And then Dubbo Bulldog.
Mm-hmm. Go the Turtle.
Yep, Turtle. He's going Sunshine in Paris.
Yeah, in the all-age. So we're going to the features.
So I need 3 more.
Okay.
So we can put up on our Bet Friends page. Now, over time, all right, I'll be able to create content so we can have...
Oh dear.
We can have a lot more people on the Bet's Friends page,
right.
But just at the moment,
okay,
just a few challenging issues I'm confronted by.
So you want people to send a text in?
Yeah, just send their text.
State a small case.
Yep. For your and I'll pick 3
tomorrow.
Out.
Okay, and add them to Bet's Friends, the Tab page on Bet's Friends on the
and
Tab
app.
And we had
2 winners, and they're back this week.
They're back. Turtle the Milkman, Dubbo Bulldog, they're tipping Bella Nipotina and the Quokka, and Sunshine in Paris in the all-age stakes. So 0419-767-272. If you want to end up with your tip on Bet's Friends. I love this one. Who selected Colino? Give yourself an uppercut. That's no name to that one. That's just all you've said.
Are you throwing him under the bus?
Well, Pengilly for tipping Colino?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I would never do that. We're waking up to a disastrous result for the Ollie Roos overnight as well. They've been beaten 1-0 by Indonesia. It's not a great note to start on. Mossy, how are you?
Well, I'd be better if that was a better result, Mido. Good morning. End of another week. Disaster for the Ollie Roos. Well, potential disaster. They've still got a chance of going through. Disastrous 10 or so days for our Liverpool as well. So not a lot to celebrate personally in football terms at the moment. But the Ollie Roos, really, with it all to do, they have to beat Qatar in the final group game at the Under-23 Asian Cup. To stand a chance of going through, they still have to rely on other results. But we need to finish top 3 in this tournament to make the Olympics. So there is a lot riding on that Qatar game. Some in our control, some of it out of our control.
I see just in the AFC Cup as well, the Central Coast Mariners, they conceded a stoppage time goal in Kyrgyzstan, but also they haven't been able to get home, so the A-League game against Adelaide has been postponed.
This is amazing. First of all, they played in the AFC Cup, the Zonal Final League One, against a club in Kyrgyzstan called Abdish Ata Kant. Well, they proved that they can because they scored a very, very late equaliser against the Mariners after Brian Koltak had put the Mariners ahead. And then they couldn't get their connecting flight through Dubai because of the flood. So what that means is that they are stuck in the Middle East and they can't get back in time to play Adelaide on Sunday. They can't play the game midweek next week because they've got the second leg of the AFC Cup. And then the final round of A-League is that weekend. So that's what it means is it's a massive problem because what it does is it now loads the dice completely in Wellington's favour, who play Newcastle away tonight. So if they win that game, they go 3 points ahead of the Mariners with one game to go. The Mariners would have a game in hand, but that game in hand can't be played until after the final round of A-League games leading up to the first weekend of the finals. So, yeah, all sorts of logistical nightmares there, but ultimately, in the wash-up, it gives the advantage to Wellington Phoenix for the Premier's plate.
What about the Sydney FC v MacArthur, buddy? Battle for fourth. That should be a beauty.
Yeah, huge. Good to hear your dulcet tones, Clarkey. Massive game. Sydney FC and MacArthur locked on points. Sydney FC holding the advantage in fourth spot over fifth-place MacArthur just by virtue of the number of wins. Sydney have had 11 wins, MacArthur 10. With that ridiculous system where the number of wins puts you ahead instead of goal difference. But anyway, let's save that argument for another day. So huge game out there at MacArthur. Never easy to go out there to Campbelltown. And I'm sure Milos Dojoski will have MacArthur fired up for this one because ultimately both teams still need a win. Depending on the result, Western Sydney and Melbourne City. If Western Sydney beat Melbourne City, then it's going to be tough. But for Melbourne City to sneak in, but Sydney FC and MacArthur still need a win just to guarantee finals football. Hmm.
So the Wanderers, how are they tracking, Mossy? What do they need to do?
Yeah, so they're sixth. They host Melbourne City, who are seventh, and they're 1 point ahead of Melbourne City. So if Western Sydney beat Melbourne City, they confirm finals football and pretty much knock the stuffing completely out of Melbourne City, who had a couple of big results. Don't forget, last time these two teams met was down in Melbourne only a few weeks ago. Melbourne City dusted Western Sydney 7-0 and Marco Rudan didn't turn up to the post-match press conference. So he's been in the headlines again this week, Roots, calling out young Marcus Yunus for a defensive error in the Sydney derby at his post-match presser, which he apologised for yesterday and said he was a little bit temperamental singling out one player when it was a collective effort that led to that Sydney FC winner late in injury time.
And in the A-League W this weekend, first league semi-finals as well, the Newcastle Jets up against Melbourne City and the Mariners against Sydney FC.
Yeah, they should be two cracking games. The Mariners-Sydney FC game obviously was going to be a doubleheader with the men's side against Adelaide, but that's no more. So it's a standalone semi-final, which is great for the girls. Look, Sydney FC got all the experience over the Mariners when it comes to finals football and winning things, but they've had the week off, so will that disrupt their momentum? Obviously, they had heartbreak on the final day of the season when they allowed Melbourne City to win the Premier's plate by losing and Melbourne City won. So let's see what that's done. Has it galvanised the dressing room? Has it knocked the stuffing out of them? The Mariners will be laying in wait, so that should be a cracker. And Newcastle hosting Melbourne City, have a spring in their step, obviously, having won the Premier's plate, but the finals is a very, very different competition, and this is a two-leg semi-final as well.
What did you make a couple of those games in the Champions League yesterday, Mossy?
Mate, Wednesday and Thursday, I was in the studio watching with Middo on Wednesday morning, and, just incredible football again. But, look, some surprising results. Barcelona were in control of that one against PSG till they got a red card just before half-time. Then PSG did what not all teams can do, and that's capitalise on numerical advantage. Sometimes it's difficult to play against 10 men, but PSG made light work of it to win 4-1, go through to the semi-finals. And really, it's been a disastrous week for English football. If you look at Arsenal going out, Man City going out, if you look at the Europa League, Liverpool going out, and West Ham are out as well. They drew 1-1 with Leverkusen this morning, but go out 3-1 on aggregate. So it's actually been a disastrous week for English football. The only bright spot really is Aston Villa going through on aggregate, and that's in the Europa Conference League, which isn't a very high-profile competition. But, you know, they can fly the English flag. But other than that, disaster for English clubs, Loz, but some unbelievable semi-finals coming up.
Yeah, and well, FA Cup replays are going to be scrapped from next year, Mossy, and I'm sure particularly the lowly clubs would not be happy about that. The romance of the FA Cup was obviously being able to eke out a draw away, and then you get a cup tie at home, obviously, which is hugely financially beneficial to those sort of clubs.
Yeah, that's right. It's a shame, but you know, I'm not surprised, you know, because at the end of the day, the football calendar is just becoming so clogged. And something had to give. And unfortunately, as is always the case when it comes to the bean counters in world football and in each country, it's usually the lesser clubs or the lower clubs that suffer and have to make the sacrifice. So real shame, because that's been a real, you know, important ingredient of the romance of the Cup, as you quite rightly said. But what can we do from our little BSB studio, mate?
Not a great deal. I'll tell you what we can do is find a winning multi.
Yeah, so, by the way, we didn't call out my winning multi from last weekend, but that's all
apologies.
Right.
Apologies. That's all right. Congratulations.
Pup knows when I win, it goes through to the keeper. When I lose, it's headline news.
Yeah.
Very true,
fair
buddy.
Call. Fair call. Go for it, Mossy. Go
here
back
we go.
To
Arsenal to beat Wolves away. Into Everton to bounce back from a shellacking last weekend to beat Nottingham Forest. Into Villa to beat Bournemouth. So it's all EPL. Arsenal into Everton into Villa.
$5.11 with Tab, that is. We'll take it. Good on you, Mossy. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Take care.
Lots of nominations here to be a part of Bet's Friends. Loz is all over them. And I want to give him a shout-out. Morning, boys. Loz, where's Finchop's invite to Bet with Friends? This is unbelievable. I'm basically the foreign correspondent.
Well, what's his
tip? Boots on the ground, bloke, and I can't get a start.
What's his tip?
You've got to send the tip through Finchop. He's a greenkeeper like you, yes, as well. He's at St Michael's Golf Club. One of your own.
We stick together. Us greenkeepers.
Oh, my gosh.
We know our grass.
Brad Davidson, good morning. How are you?
Morning, everyone. How are we, guys?
Very well, thank you. All Age Stakes Day tomorrow. And let's start with the feature where we have Espiona at the top of betting at $3.80 from Sunshine in Paris. Money for Southport Tycoon at $6. How do you see the All Aged?
Yeah, look, I can understand the support for Southport Tycoon, guys. Just simply that different form line, looking for a different angle here, because most of them come through the TJ Smith Stakes and such a blanket finish that maybe that different form line is the right way to play it with Southport Tycoon. I struggle with this race, guys. I think there's probably six different hopes and, you know, it's tricky which way you want to go. But look, I think Sunshine in Paris, providing we don't get too much rain tomorrow, that's the concern. You know, there is a bit forecast there at Randwick tomorrow. If we get a lot of rain on race day, it might be a bit of a concern for her. But I think she gets the draw this time to be able to posse up, get a good run throughout. And I thought she might be the one that's going to appreciate the step up to 1,400 most. Of course, Espiona's proven at the 1,400 and she's a horse that, of course, was luckless in the TJ and probably should have won. So, fascinating race. You could go probably five or six different ways, but Sunshine in Paris, a slight leaning there in the All Age for me.
How do you see the Champagne Stakes then, Davo? The same way, or have you got a standout?
Yeah, Loz, I think a bit more confident here. I think it's a race in three main hopes, isn't it, with obviously the favourite broadsiding and linebacker. They look the three horses that they're going to be fighting out the finish here. I just want to be with Manal, though. I think she's just got the better form line. Once again, she was arguably the run of the Golden Slipper for mine, and then, of course, won the size last time out. Steps up to a mile now. I don't see too many issues there. The small field means she's going to be able to sit midfield here. I think they'll go at a good speed with a node likely to lead linebacker. and I think she can peel out at the right time and be hard to beat. I'm worried at broadsiding. I thought he was terrific last week. He's on the quick backup at the mile again. He's just improving with every run. Of course, linebacker's got to be in the finish as well. He's just probably going to have to sit outside a node once again. That's a concern for me. He's not able to probably control the race in front, and he has to see out 1,600. But Manal, for me, I think she can arguably stamp herself as the two-year-old of the season with a win in the Champagne there tomorrow.
Let's go west to your home state. Melia's Jewel overpass. It was a great battle last year. How do you see it?
It was a great race last year, wasn't it, guys? Of course, Overpass narrowly holding off the flying Amelia's Jewel, who just run out of time to chase down Overpass in a photo finish there last year. Look, I think the barrier draws the key here. It's definitely helped the likes of Overpass and Oscar's Fortune. Amelia's Jewel's probably going to get a long way back from that gate unless she's given an absolute peach from Damien Lane. So I think the one that's probably drawn to get the right run here just on the back of Overpass is Oscar's Fortune. Look, he was good there first up, 1,100. He's got to go to 1,200 now. But I think, you know, at around that $5, $6 mark each way, he looks like he's going to run you a really big race. Overpass, he's probably just going to have to do it from outside Malkovich. Malkovich is your likely leader. So with that in mind, I thought Oscar's Fortune might be able to nab him late. And Amelia's Jewel, she's going to be flooding home. If she gets any luck, I think she's the one to beat. But it's just that barrier that puts me off with the short price. I thought they missed the boat there first up in the Roma Cup. They got too far back. Mm-hmm. She was ridden far too arrogantly. But second up, 1,200 suits. It's just a gate. That's a slight knock there. Great race.
Yeah, no mucking around on the BSB multi today either, Davo, with your comments. You either like it or you don't. Colino top two, broadsiding top two. Like it, don't like it. Come on.
I'm on the fence.
Be on the fence. Come on.
Well, you were keen on broadsiding. You were happy with that.
Yeah.
So, Colino,
I think
you're
run top two. Colino's the one that's got me 50-50 because he's such a good fresh horse, and I actually give him really good hope there. But he's only had the one soft trial off the long break, so I'm a little bit concerned with the setup. But
it's not the answer I was looking for.
Yeah, I think Chris Waller will have him ready. I think he'll be storming home. And I like it, Loz. I think he'll go awfully close.
I want you to bag it.
But you reckon we've got a bad record, do you, when I
well,
like it?
Well, no. I just haven't been a part of this one.
No,
he's been away.
I've been away, so I've had to give it to other people. Mm.
He's just setting up to bag those responsible on Monday.
You just,
is what he's
yeah,
doing.
You just didn't come in with the answer I was after. And how stupid am I, Middo? You never ask a question you don't know the answer to.
100%. Mm. All right. What's your best then, Davo?
I'm on the Tannhauser train, guys. Yeah, I think he's ready. Oof. Yeah, Frank Packer played. I think Chris Wallace won four of the last six. He was terrific over the mile last time. Steps up to 2,000 now. Gets the gate to be a lot closer. And look, I don't read too much into this these days because jockey bookings are so far out, but I do still find it interesting that J-Max jumped off Salt Coast here to ride Tannhauser, the stablemate. I think he's ready. I think any rain on race day is no issue for him, and I think he's the best of the day there, and I think the market will really like him late because it's the J-Max. It's the switching barriers that's going to get him four or five legs closer in the run as well, and he looks to be looking for 2,000 metres.
Tannhauser. Race 4, number 1, 360 into 270 for the Packer Plate there tomorrow. Have a great weekend, mate.
Thanks, guys. You too.